You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you...
Now, your local forecast, accurate and dependable from the Weather Channel.
Joining us right now is CM Punk. He's going to come on in here, maybe do it. You said you did weather before.
I for some reason, always wind up doing the weather. You can hear it. Go ahead.
I just want to hold this.
Yeah, I know. It's a heavy sucker. Don't drop it.
There you go.
Over right here, Chicago is the best place on earth. We're right up. Where are we?
Windy City. Where are we at?
We're way down in between. This is all red over here, which means it's really, really hot. And it's hot everywhere in the world right now. It's hot in Lincoln. Oh, look at that, 107. That's not good.
No, that's
everybody
Oklahoma.
Stay out of there. Yeah. Stay away from Oklahoma City.
Dallas has been, they've been baking. 104 in Dallas yesterday. Here's a nice look right here.
That's a very nice.
You're on top
of
the world.
I saw the sunrise in Indianapolis today. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty.
What else was nice is this t-shirt I'm wearing, which you can buy on www.shopzone.com.
And there's our temperatures right now, 74.
Right now it's looking pretty good. So if you want to get your run in, do that.
And then, you know what? We really need some rain around here.
Do we?
Yeah.
Hopefully we have
a good turnout for later on tonight.
And I hope we get some rain. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, we need some rain. All right.
That's the weather. I'm CM Punk and you're not.
All right. Perhaps weathermen need entrance music. A little bit of perma stubble, a cool t-shirt, and a catchphrase. Maybe more people would watch local news if we had people like that doing the weather. But we're not here to talk about how hot it is outside or how hard we've been rained on. No, the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat on the CLW 83 Network, was actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait! Then I get run over by all kinds of news, so I had to go get some help. So I brought a few people in. As everybody knows, my name is Nikki Heyman, and I might introduce you to the rest of the people who decided to show up for this. First, the man who takes the bite out of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
Yeah, I mean, wow. we were going to try and stretch this farther than Mr. Fantastic and the Fantastic Four. We got a lot of news that all happened within the last 48 hours. Oh boy, not some good, a lot bad actually. Some really sad stuff too.
Indeed. We also have our resident weapons master, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Hit him with the bowling chair. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm doing all right, Brian. And believe me, there's a few people who would rather be struck with the seating implement than what they got struck with this afternoon.
Yes, today it was hit him with the pink slip.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So, yes, the great big red button in Vince McMahon's office, which apparently the new COO has been hitting with a sledgehammer.
Yeah!
Oh, boy.
However, of those five that departed, one of them looked at him and said, "Fire me, I'm already fired. Fire me? No, I quit. Hey, Tara, can I get a job in Orlando? We'll talk in 3 months."
Oh, really? So for those who don't know, who is gone as of this afternoon? What happened, actually?
Well, as the quarter two numbers had come out, we noticed that WWE is still trying to get their numbers back up a bit. They're closing the gap. They've done a very good job on that. We'll go into detail on that in a moment. But since spring cleaning didn't happen right after Mania, mainly, I guess they were just waiting for the Mania numbers. Well, the pink slips started slipping out late this morning, early this afternoon. Of those who are departed, we have Chris Masters, Gail Kim, Melina, David Hart Smith, and Vladimir Kozlov.
As of this taping, but there is rumored that there is going to be even more.
There could be more, so for those of you who fear for some of the other lesser rands, such as Trent Beretta, Kurt Hawkins, et al., I'll put JTG on this list. Keep your fingers crossed. and hopefully nobody else is going to get dropped off the map. However, out of these five, one of them walked on her own, and that in this case it's Gail Kim. Now, I'm not going to call this one good idea, bad idea. I think I know where Gail's coming from. She hasn't been used. She hasn't been in a storyline since the whole Bella Twins, Daniel Bryan nonsense last summer. They haven't used her. She's not doing anything. She's making a nice paycheck, but she's also got a very hot husband in Sir Robert Irvine. So why should she stick around, Jason?
Honestly, I'd be doing what she did last week in Atlantic City, and that's basically go to the Atlantic City Food and Wine Festival, eat some great food cooked by her fiancé / new hubby, and chill out for a while. Because if the WWE doesn't want her, fine, you know. Since the WWE has treated the women's division as a pretty much a divas division up until, well, this week, and when Beth Phoenix and Natalia have basically said, oh, we're taking the divas back, we want wrestling in there. It's been a pretty princess division, you know, headed by people like Kelly, Eve Torres, AJ, and others. That's why people like Melina and Gail Kim are gone, unfortunately.
Which is a shame, because, I mean, Gail wanted to wrestle, and Melina can wrestle. So it's not like we're losing the actual pretty princesses, but, Brian, are Kelly or the Bellas or potentially Rosa Mendez, are any of these four in any potential danger right now?
Kelly, I don't think so. I still cling to the belief that they're trying to make it up to her after what Randy Orton said about her. The Bella Twins have a decent enough gimmick with the Twin Magic. Rosa Mendez, I would be worried, because Rosa Mendez, to me, I mean, her whole gimmick is that she works out a lot. And she comes off to me as a very bland, very blasé character. So of the four of them, I think Rose is the one who might want to get her resume in good order.
And you're right. She really hasn't done a whole lot of wrestling. And even the commentators and the other divas have dug on her about this. So with this upswing of Beth Phoenix and Natty saying, enough of the fluff, let's wrestle.
Exactly.
So to Beth and to Natty, thank you. And I wish Karma wasn't knocked up right now, because she would be standing right next to you.
Exactly. You ain't kidding. Are you kidding? She'd be there the whole nine yards there with her.
As they say in the Bible, Karma right now, sadly, is great with child.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but seriously, this what's ironic in this whole thing is we all know that, and I'm going to talk about TNA for a second just for this reason. TNA has basically been going into our faces and slamming in our head the catchphrase wrestling matters, right?
Right, and they're very good at discussing it.
Yes, but what happens is over the last, say, 4 to 6 weeks, WWE has actually been doing it.
Yeah, the thing is, TNA, all TNA has been doing is, you know, here's my belief. When the whole thing happened at WrestleMania, when WWE, the rumor came out where they said, no more wrestling ever on our broadcast, I have a hunch TNA was doing this whole thing just to get attention.
They do a lot, but they do that all the time. So they're not gonna get the attention they want.
Yeah, but, you know, well, again, the whole thing about wrestling matters, I think now that Triple H, and I'm of the opinion he has a lot more power than we're led to believe. I think he really is taking over a lot of the wrestling side of the promotion. I think Triple H is doing his darndest to try to win back the wrestling fans.
Oh, don't feed his ego.
ego.
But you're right.
I should shut up now.
No. I just, you know, I agree with you. I believe that, you know, we already know that the Evil Doc's got his hands on talent relations. And I think he's got a fairly good eye of what's going to work and what's not going to work. And he's got, you know, he's got people he knows, trusts, and respects to back him up on this. So that's why we're going to have the house cleaning. That's why, you know, with the strong rumors about Colt Cabana, who got his tryout, the Kings of Wrestling working their way in. The fact that Hunter also knows that you can't teach and you can't train experience.
That's exactly right.
So
that's exactly right. And another thing that needs to be brought up with, well, at least with him, you know, from what I've read, he was pretty much instrumental in bringing in Sin Cara, or Mystico, if some of you out there would prefer that other name. The guy loves wrestling. We know he knows what wrestling, what a good wrestler looks like. Maybe what we're seeing now is maybe they are starting to realize where the money really comes from. I mean, that's just my opinion. And I'll talk more about this later if we talk about Raw this week, but that's just one fan's opinion.
Well, also the Sin Cara thing, you know what's very interesting? There was a little, because Sin Cara on this week's SmackDown was promoted to come back this week, coming next week, right?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Right, but the wellness policy for Sin Cara is actually due a few days later. Do you want to know why Sin Cara can actually come back earlier?
That's the Orton Clause. In the wellness policy, isn't it?
No, because there's a developmental talent named Junico that's going to play him, not Luis Ignacio Uribe Alverde.
Interesting.
So not Averno.
No. Because the merchandise sales for Sin Cara have been very strong. That's why they'd want to bring him back.
Was thinking they would invoke the Orton Clause, where essentially you can work, we just won't pay you.
No, it's totally going to be a different guy under the mask.
Interesting. I wonder if anybody's going to notice. I know I will.
So sort of like the whole suicide thing in TNA.
Yes, because it was Christopher Daniels and then Kazarian, or vice versa.
Right. Let's see. But with Sin Cara on his way back, then the video package that they aired on SmackDown for him was very well done.
Yeah. You know, here's something else about the whole Sin Cara situation that I read, and I think it's kind of interesting. From what I've been reading, his whole wellness policy violation, it wasn't due to steroids, because like it or not, WWE, I believe, at least trying to phase those out. I'll give him credit for something. A lot of it, from what I've read, this is all a rumor. It's news with a Z at the end.
Right.
But the rumor is that he's been having a real attitude problem since he got into WWE. One of the things is that because he's being looked upon as a golden child in Mexico, he's been acting like the cock of the walk. And another problem is he is reportedly flat out refusing to try to learn English, which I wonder why he would not want to. So I think they did this more or less to take him down a peg, to show him, you know, who's really buttering your bread. So that's, I think, the big reason more than anything else.
The other thing that between refusing to learn English, the fact that, you know, he's been, all the newsy stuff about him having an ego, which I'd have an ego too if I had a whole country behind me.
Yeah, it'd be like if the WWE signed El Santo.
Yeah. So, where was I going with this? Crap.
You were talking about the fact that he has an ego, the rumor.
Oh, that's what it was. The other rumor about his wellness violation was that he did not have the actual prescription in hand for pain meds that he had for his knees. That was the other thing I had heard. But, again, neither one of these are confirmed. although admittedly somebody walking into WWE with an ego should know better. Because
just the idea right now, I mean, you got only five people. Again, you've got a lot of people who I think should be worried, honestly.
Right. So maybe you've got a point. Let's get back to the people that have received their pink slips.
Yes, sorry to derail the conversation. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no, you're fine. Chris Masters, on his second release, now he's been very upbeat about it. He thought he did a very good job while he was there.
Yeah, he did. From what I mean, this was just a dead weight call. I mean, I don't think this was a, you know.
This was unfortunately the "we don't have anything for you" release.
Yeah.
Because he has improved vastly. Now, the other thing that might still be hanging over his head is that one thing I don't know about the wellness policy, do your strikes reset between stints within the company? Because if they're not, he walked in with two strikes that he had left from his prior stint.
Well, I think they'd almost have to, because the company would know, you know, the company would know that you're a risk and that of all this. I mean, if that were the case, if the guy had two strikes, they could just give him like a quote-unquote release for one day, then bring him back and reset him. So I think they'd almost have to be grandfathered in.
I'm not 100% sure, but he went out and improved himself between stints. He could probably be welcomed back just about anywhere. And just something in the back of everybody's head, Chris Masters is tight with RVD.
Uh-huh.
Masters has popped up a few times on RVD Radio. The two of them, you know, seem, you know, pretty pally. So there's a chance that, you know, Rob might get him a job down south. Or perhaps a mutual interest might have essentially said, hey, Chris, you know, there's a lot of things we test for, and that's one of them. So you might want to tell your buddy to stop sending you that stuff.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to throw out some names, if you don't mind. I'm going just off the top of my head.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to say, do you think this person stays or goes? Okay, and I'm going in alphabetical order, okay?
All right.
Drew McIntyre. He should be worried.
He should be worried, but they actually, well, no, I can't even use that as an example because that's, you know, that's how Kozlov went out. On an injury or a write-off.
Could you hold on 1 second? I'm sorry. I a call's coming in. Could you hold on a minute? I'm sorry. I just talked to Brian.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. Now, while he's disappeared, since he brought up a good point, Vladimir Kozlov busted his ass this week, and his reward is getting a pink slip.
Yeah.
What do you think they should have kept him?
Honestly, this may not be popular. I really think that he was just a piece of dead weight for the whole company. And I know that may come off as arrogant or what have you, but I mean, I like Vlad a lot. I thought him and
Santino.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't think.
Oh, you're back already.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was right here. Yeah, very quickly. I got into it, so.
Well, anyway, him and Santino were funny together. Santino has moved on and is still a great funny guy. I think the Kozlov Express has sort of derailed, and it's not where it was. I just think he was dead weight. I mean, he was a decent grappler, but I never saw out of him what you'd want to see in a good mid-tier or top-tier quality. So I think he was a bit of dead weight.
He had some good comic timing. They wouldn't stick with it. And
yeah, that's the problem, is that they were never sure whether he was supposed to be comedy or a monster.
Exactly. That was the worst part about it, is when he was the Moscow Mauler, he was good, but he wasn't that dominating Batista-like monster.
Right. Yeah, like he, yeah.
And just some other names that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, looking here. I'm thinking the Usos, maybe.
They're finally getting behind the Usos, but it might be a too little too late situation for them.
Yeah, they're letting the Usos do the haka before their entrance, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I don't think they're going to have any trouble. The people who I think should be worried are some of the guys in developmental who've been down there for 2 or 3 years and they haven't really shown what they need to improve. So I think a lot of the developmental talent should really be stepping up their game or they're going to be gone soon.
I'm also thinking of another people, maybe like a Tyler Rex or a Yoshi Tatsu.
Tyler Rex should be very worried. They haven't used him in months.
Yeah, Tyler Rex, he had one small run after he grew his hair out and then he was gone. Yoshi Tatsu, honestly, I think they're going to keep him because he is one of the more entertaining guys on Twitter.
And his stuff on Twitter actually grew into a mini feud going on NXT with him and Tyson Kidd over his action figure.
Leg on a pole match.
Vince Russo would be so proud.
Oh yes. Where's Judy Bagwell when we need her?
Don't go there. Who else you got on your short list there, Jason?
You also talked, JTG, of course, as you said. Trent Barretta. Those are about the only guys that I think are really up top that really should be worried at the moment.
Yeah.
I would say those people. I mean, any other, like, really bigger people would be a little bit of a shock. Oh, and also one other person, Primo, is another guy who I'd worry about.
Yeah, he's been slumming on superstars for far too long.
Right. I'm surprised you didn't bring up Curt Hawkins, Jason.
You brought him up.
Thank you.
So I
trust right.
you.
Okay.
I not taking away from the host's powers of observation.
Hey.
You know. But the deal is right now, the reason why a lot of this came out is because of the numbers. And that's what I think we should be going into next, because right now, you got five. I'm thinking there's between 5 and 10 that could go.
Right. I just wanted to at least touch on the other two. We really haven't talked about...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No problem.
Melina, if this had happened 6 months ago, I would have been surprised, but she has not been used. And while there's while Jomo is pining for her on Twitter, somebody somewhere in the Fed said, we're not using her, we shouldn't be spending this kind of money on her. But I wonder. Some people have said that there might have even been an attitude issue with her as well, but I think that would mean that Morrison probably would have followed her out the door after all the nonsense right around Mania and the Trish Stratus situation.
Yeah. Well, the big thing about Melina, she has had more FaceTime on Zack Ryder's YouTube show than on WWE. So I don't know why you don't get rid of her.
No, I actually think this is a very good move. I mean, this is the how the mighty have fallen sort of release.
And I don't think it's a warning to Morrison. I really don't. There was some speculation I was reading on the boards that Morrison would actually be in solidarity with her and walk out. No way. Not right now.
No way.
This is not a Stacey Carter, Jerry Lawler situation.
Thank you. That's what a lot of people are comparing it to, and Morrison, I would hope, is not that stupid.
Because he is, believe it or not, one of the top guys there. They don't push him as such, but he is.
now that he's healthy, I think, and we're, you know, we're looking for something to start shaking up, to start shaking up the main event picture right now with Cena and Punk pretty much holding the whole show together at the main event level. There's just no room for anybody to poke their head in. So, you know, once that dies down, once we figure out who the champion really is, then I think they can really start doing some stuff with Morrison. I think he was in line for a huge push leading up to WrestleMania, whether it was the Trish Stratus situation or potentially he was already starting to have neck issues leading up to Mania. We'll never know. But now that he's healthy and ready to go, I didn't see anything this week. Well, people are going, oh my God, he lost his return matches. He wasn't pinned on Friday. So, just don't panic for the rest of us JOMO fans, to which Morrison has dubbed us via Twitter as JOMO Sapiens.
Love that. I love those. That's pretty good. That's a good one, actually.
We need that JOMO on TV.
Let's just see what happens when he faces R-Truth at SummerSlam.
Right.
Because, again, they're pretty much setting that up.
Right. Now, the last one on our list is David Hart Smith, who, yes, is a legacy wrestler, but is somebody they really haven't done, they really didn't do anything with. I'm surprised that he turned out to be the Jannetty of the Hart Dynasty, although I find it even funnier that Natty's gotten more screen time than Smith or Kidd combined in the last 7 or 8 months. I know, you know, it's not often that the valet wins.
Yeah, and the thing is that I think they totally blew his character in the whole creative thing. I think what they should have done was actually really push the legacy of the British Bulldog.
Right.
And they didn't do it.
They tried to the first time he was up, and then he got wellness and he kind of disappeared for a while, and then they just completely forgot about it and really didn't talk about it much during his Hart Dynasty days, which was a huge head scratcher for me. I mean, you know, what was the problem? Was Martha Hart having another coronary over all this?
I don't know, but it was, you know.
So, now, let's see. A note from an IM. Couple people to worry about out of the developmental side, Brodus Clay and Husky Harris.
Yeah, oh yeah. Forgot about them.
Now, I honestly think, you know, King Hippo's got some weird charisma. I think that I'm serious.
Wait, what?
Brodus Clay is freaking King Hippo.
Thank you.
Edge even said so.
I'm not the only one who thinks he looks like King Hippo. Thank you.
Oh, you mean from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Yes. You know, from Hippo Island in the South Pacific.
Okay.
He wears the singlet to hide the Band-Aid over his belly button.
Okay.
But
I hereby declare he must come to the ring wearing a crown now.
Lawler won't let him. But, no, I hate to say it. Clay's got some weird charisma. Him and Harris both have weird charisma, but they don't seem to have any faith in Harris. Clay, somebody behind the scenes likes him. And I think they're going to try to get him back on TV. I still haven't figured out, you know, he got busted open bad, and that's what took him off TV for a little while. But we never heard if it was a legit injury or if he just had, you know, he had to get stitches or staples back there to get everything back in place. Or maybe it was, you know, maybe it was a mini wellness. Can you drop a little bit of weight, big man, before you turn into Big Daddy this? I don't know.
Well, here's something that you may not know, a little bit of trivia. The reason why he's called Brodus Clay is he, at one time, was Snoop Dogg's personal bodyguard. And so he adopted Brodus because Snoop Dogg's real name is Calvin Brodus.
Okay. Let's see. And from the chat room, Brodus did come back on Superstars this week and had taken was off TV so he could go film a movie. Stepboy, if you're listening, please give me some more info on that. I want to hear more. So while he's doing that, I think we should actually look at the. I know you've been chomping at the bit for this, Jason. So,
what's that? The numbers?
The numbers.
Ah, yes, the numbers. Okay. Well, one second. Let me just pull them up because the numbers are very interesting to me. We're gonna have to wait, aren't we?
May I have your attention, please?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager.
I'm on vacation.
On my IBM Junior.
I'm on vacation. I'm never coming back.
And I quote, "No, my name is not Triple H. You are a liar." No, let me read the rest of this. The second quarter did have some pretty interesting numbers, and don't worry, nobody's going to go anywhere, so we need to take a moment and sell some merchandise. Well, sort of. After all, we do have to keep the sponsors happy, don't we? WrestleChat.net and CLW83 would rather we talk a little bit about them for a bit. So, North American Wrestling Connection will be back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the folding chair. I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Argiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Can you hold a conversation for more than 5 minutes? Have something interesting to say? Are you susceptible to hepatitis? Then we have something for you. We're looking for guests to be on the CLW 83 Night Shift in the fall. Email us at CLW83NightShift@gmail.com for details.
Who wants to drink from the fire hose? We know you do, but we're not that kind of show. Tune in weekly for odd news and a new weekly co-host. Because we go through co-hosts like Lindsay Lohan goes through parole officers. It's the Webmaster's Corner, every week, only on the CLW 83 Network.
Hi, this is Steve Bryant, talk show host. You've heard of me, right? Talk show host, a lot of song parodies? Oh, come on, sure you have. Talk show host, does a lot of topical song parodies, not really a liberal, not really a conservative. You know me, Steve Bryant. Okay, well, this is Steve Bryant, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. I never heard of them either.
And we're back, and I do apologize for the Raw GM's untimely interruption. But before you get into the numbers, Jason, Statboy did send me some information. Curtis Clay had been pulled aside for a couple of months to go ahead and shoot a horror film. This is per the Bleacher Report, so take it for what it's worth.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of details, but he plays the villain. typecasting.
I could see it.
So, you know, we'll have to wait for more stuff to come out. And once WWE's done hyping Hunter's movie, then we'll have to see what Brodus Clay was up to. So, with that out of the way, Mr. Block, I no longer will hold you back. Please.
Thank you very much. And again, just for those who don't know, this is the North American Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network. Got to get the plugs in. And we are in the second half of the show. The big news out of the Stamford, Connecticut, outside of all these releases, was the second quarter financial numbers. There was a conference call, which I'll get to in a minute, which has some interesting tidbits there. After adjusting for WrestleMania, the operating income was actually down 2%, or $500,000, while adjusted net income was up $400,000. Basically, they ran a tighter ship and made more with less. WrestleMania 27, the one that I said would be absolutely crappy, and I paid Nikki Heyman $50 to prove I was wrong, generated, get this, $36 million worth of revenue. I'm rounding up 35.9. $16 million of profit on 15% earnings per share, which means, and of course, WrestleMania did 1,059,000 buy rates versus 885 last year. The Rock gives them 200,000 buy rates this year. Thank you. That's right. Extreme Rules was up 27,000 buyers from 209,000 from 182. Over the Limit didn't do so well, down 57,000. Capital Punishment, which was for the Fatal 4-Way, was up 27,000 as well. Now, the big thing also was Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank was said to have done a 20% increase. Okay?
Which is always good. I thought it would make a lot more because of the whole CM Punk angle. Compelling storylines making people pay money. That's a concept I never heard of before.
Sarcasm much, are we here?
Well, I don't do sarcasm a lot because I'm not that kind of person, but every so often you kind of have to let the steam out of the valve or else you blow up.
Right.
But you do have a point. Compelling storylines to impose buy rate? Really?
Who does that? Who is that?
Gentleman.
Is he with you?
Play that again.
Let me find it again. I lost my place. Where is it? Yeah, here we go.
Who does that? Yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
That's absolutely true. But let me actually go over the conference call notes, because the numbers, there's a whole bunch of numbers that made my head spin. But, okay. The big thing that really sort of hit me, a couple things, The Rock is scheduled for a couple of more promotional appearances before WrestleMania. First one being, I believe, SummerSlam, because he is in training right now to do G.I. Joe. If you've seen some of the Twitter pictures that he has posted, he is jacked. Mm-hmm. Have you seen some of those pictures?
No, somebody please link me quick.
Okay, hold on.
It might ruin my commentary for the rest of the evening, but I do need to see these pictures.
Yeah, just hold.
I saw one of them. He has muscles the size of small children.
Ooh.
Yeah, hold on.
What's
one.
The Lawler line? He has muscles in places that most of us don't even have places.
Yeah, just hold on one second. I'm linking you now. Check that. There's one picture.
No weapons, but welcome to the gun show.
Yeah.
Ooh, hello.
Okay, and here's another one for you. This is him training with the M249 saw. Check that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Midsection still needs a little work, but that's okay.
Yeah, well. But yeah, he's got the gun show going. So he's going to be doing some stuff for WrestleMania. There is a rumor, and I love this one, that the USA wants to do sort of a pre-live one-hour show before Raw.
Like
a pre-game show. What do you think about that?
Well, they did a test of that, something like that, on for, I believe, SmackDown when they premiered on Sci-Fi. The format was okay, but you better have the storylines, you better have enough storyline to give yourself to give yourself something to talk about for an hour.
Well, here's what I think they could do. Why not just move superstars off of WWE.com and kind of use superstars as the lead-in show?
I would think that'd be easier and cheaper because you can put on, you know, you only have to put on one or two matches. That takes care of up to, that takes care of a third of your hour right there. You lose another third in advertising and promotion, and then that leaves you 20 minutes to talk, which is two storylines and maybe a message from our esteemed chairman. After all, the COO needs his face time, doesn't he?
Of course he does.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yes. Here's another little interesting sort of thing. They were asked about their library of footage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have 100,000 hours of footage for the WWE Network, which is debuting. Okay.
Do they have a start date for the network yet?
Not yet. But they've digitized about 30,000 hours of it, with a quarter of that now being available on high definition.
Mm.
Okay.
Jason?
Yes?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have a serious question about the network that's debuting. Have they said if it's going to be available like on Dish Network, or is it just going to be on cable?
Unknown at this point. They just said, in the conference call, they said, I will get what I have here. Vince is convinced the WWE Network will be a success. They're finally rolling it out. They're meeting this week and next. It's finally rolling out. They did not say when or where it will be, you know, where it will be available. If my guess is correct, they're going to phase out WWE Classic / 24/7. This is just a guess. Or reintegrate it into the WWE Network. And I would guess it would go on all the major cable systems, Comcast, Time Warner, Cablevision, Cox, I don't know the other major ones, Sinclair, maybe, who knows.
Well, no, it can't be Sinclair. Sinclair just bought Ring of Honor.
Of Honor, okay. Well, you know what I mean, though. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on the major networks. It'll probably be on DirecTV and Dish Network and all that sort of stuff. They've got to roll it out huge if they're going to make it into the business, you know?
I mean, well, because our friends at WrestleCrap.com, I've said this before, and I'm going to agree with it. The biggest asset WWE has right now is their tape library. I mean, they have got so much footage. I mean, they have WWE, WCW, a lot of NWA. They have Smoky Mountain, World Class, AWA. They just bought up a thing. They just bought the UPW library in California just so they can have access to John Cena's early matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only major libraries they don't have are Memphis, because that is such a huge boondoggle, it's not even funny, and Bill Watts out in the UWS. I've heard are the big two they don't have right now.
Well, think of it this way. If they've got 100,000 hours of footage,
yeah,
okay, and let's say... But here's going to be the interesting bailiwick, and I'm going to bring up his name again, Chris Benoit. You've got a lot of hours of footage from 19. I mean, how long was he in the business? 20 years.
Well, 20 years, and his I know he had been in WCW. Well, you've got bits of him from ECW.
Right.
You've got bits of him from WCW. Now, does Vince have any Japan libraries yet?
Not sure I'm not 100% sure, but what I'm saying is that if you're going to have a WWE network, is this going to be, I mean, we know it's not going to be what we fans want it to be. An uncensored stuff that you could pick sort of deal.
Right, and believe me, the Benoit stuff was already roiling in the back of my mind. Vince has given a very politically correct answer, but Chris is still considered an unperson when it comes to footage, and it still really royally pisses me off. And that is a make or break for me. It's not going to be a make or break for many. I've had the argument that if Vince could do it, he would find a way to digitally replace Benoit.
Well, Nikki, and I hate to sound like this because you know I love you. I mean, you are a good friend of mine, and I love you a lot. But do you at least understand why a lot of fans just can't bring themselves to watch his matches anymore?
I understand that. But I don't believe it is up to Vince. It is up to us.
That I agree with. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
What Vince has is historical documentation. By his logic, World War II would have never happened. Saddam Hussein would not have existed. Jeffrey Dahmer would never have existed.
Okay, well, there's a difference there. Nikki, wait. Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a difference, okay? Jeffrey Dahmer was not celebrated by a major entertainment conglomerate for 6-7 years. Saddam Hussein was not a big-time television star in America for 5 or 6 years. Chris Benoit was.
Saddam Hussein was a major ally of the United States in the 1980s when we were fighting Iran. Hitler was listed as Time Magazine's Man of the Year in the early 30s.
That is correct. Okay. Both of you are correct in different ways, okay? But let me bring it back for a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, because again, we're off the subject here. Because Nikki is right in this sense, because if you're bringing out a major network to between 50 and 100 million subscribers on a cable package, okay, even though it's a niche fan base, like, say, the Game Show Network, right, are you going to censor certain things because it is politically correct to do? That's the thing. You want? Am I presenting it correctly, Nikki?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that Brian is also correct. Is that 100,000 hours worth of footage is their biggest asset. They haven't even. I don't think WWE has even touched their potential as to what they can do with this footage yet. Do you agree, Nikki?
I agree.
No, I'm just asking. What I mean, how would you, okay? Just getting back, what do you think the WWE network should be? How's that?
That's a good question. Now they've bandied around the thought of original content, which intrigues me just as much as the video library. I think that to draw the broadest base of fans, you can't just throw up a random Nitro or a random ECW show or a random and thoroughly censored older episode of Raw. You've got to give us something new, or maybe just different perspectives. We get behind the scenes stuff. We get where are they now stuff. We get maybe graduate Zack Ryder's show to the network. Maybe we'll get to see that sitcom they were joking about with Glamorella. You know, there's all the talk on that video game WWE Brawl. Some people are saying that the character designs in there are the basis for a potential cartoon. Which, to be honest, after seeing those character designs, I'd seriously consider watching it.
Well, you know, here's an idea that I had, and I think it's good. If they're going to show, like, the Monday... They used to do this really cool thing on the 24/7 thing,
mm-hmm.
which was called the Monday Night War, where they would show the episode of Not Raw and the episode of Nitro that both aired on the exact same Monday night to sort of showcase how the Monday Night War was going in a way.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is sort of have... Nikki, are you familiar with the concept in TV of what's called the lower third?
I'm not sure what that is.
Okay, if you look at a television screen, have you ever watched the news, and they'll show at the very bottom of the screen, they'll show, like, the names of the reporters.
Oh no, I know what you're talking about. Like, on an MSNBC or a Fox News where they're scrolling, like, stock price, stock numbers.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
What I would do is, during each show on the lower third, sort of tell people what was going on in the world of wrestling at the time, or maybe some pop culture trivia, like what was the number one record at the time? What was the number one movie at the box office? Talk about what was happening in the business, and that will kind of give you a bit of a deeper understanding. Like, well, sort of like if they have like a running commentary or like pop-up video, they used to have a show on VH1.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Which I thought was kind of a neat idea. I would love to see stuff like that. Maybe show the Legends of Wrestling roundtables.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is so much potential right now with this idea that it really does intrigue me. And, Nikki, I just want to say I hope you weren't really upset when I sort of got a bit of an argument with you about Chris Benoit. I don't think I was attacking you personally.
That's just a very, very, very open wound for me. And it's I know you weren't attacking me personally, but when I see stuff like the WrestleMania magazine that they released this year said every match, every superstar on the WrestleMania 20 page, they do not even talk about their main event. They don't even mention Hunter or Shawn. That's not fair.
I agree that that's wrong. I mean, you cannot act like he didn't exist. I agree with that. But what I was getting at is, I don't think the WWE can afford to celebrate a man's career who killed his wife and his son and then committed suicide.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
No.
I'm not asking them to celebrate him. I'm asking them not to alter history.
That's
and
correct.
I agree with that. I mean, like I said,
there's no celebrating.
Be a part of
I'm
the
just,
historical record.
Right. And unfortunately, there is going to be a lot of positive things that were said about him. And it irks me that they are willing to go through and nickel and dime censor stuff like they did on the Satan's Prison DVD. Anything positive that was said about him was actually censored out. And
well,
I find that offensive.
Okay, and you know what? You have every right to feel that way. I agree to an extent. My thing is, I can understand why they did it.
Oh, I understand why. I just, if they really want my money, I want accurate history.
And I agree.
Well, I'll give you the best example of this, and then we'll because we
and I'll shut up now. I shouldn't have opened that one.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. The Randy Orton DVD, his most important career match in 2004 will not be on it when he beat Chris Benoit for the title to become the youngest champion in WWE history, beating one Brock Lesnar. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't, it's affecting other superstars as well. It's just that. Just to get back to the conference call quickly, they were just asking about the meeting with Dana White, and they just said it's personal, not business.
I still don't believe that, by the way.
No, I don't believe it either. No. Wrong.
To book that Brock versus Undertaker match so bad.
I think something else, actually, but, you know. I just think that there's going to be some sort of WWE UFC branding thing. You know? Something eventually. You never know. But I'm just telling you, I think WWE has stopped the bleeding, pretty much. And they've also pretty much written off their film division, if you've also noticed in the numbers. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're not making any money. Their DVD sales aren't what they were hoping for. Unfortunately, it is because I hate to say it. I personally have not seen any of the WWE films outside of The Marine. That's the only one I've seen.
Pretty good.
I'm not a horror fan, unfortunately, so I knew I was skipping that one. I have The Marine 2, and I haven't watched it. I have Knucklehead, but I got it only because The Big Show autographed it.
That's What I Am has gotten a lot of positive publicity. I mean, it's gotten a lot of good reviews.
That's because Randy Orton was barely in it.
Very good. Very nice.
After all, I mean, this was set in the 50s, the 60s, so, you know, his usual persona wouldn't have gone over very well.
Baby oil! Very good.
Sorry.
So we got anything else in the last 4 minutes, Nick?
Just the bad news that I needed to pass along. We've lost two brethren in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Cincinnati personality, wrestler and booker JT Lightning succumbed to cancer this week. He's a wrestler that I knew from New Era Wrestling. He was one of the guys who gave a referee friend of mine one of his first breaks. He was also a huge fan, especially of wrestling music. I recall one of the first times I went to New Era, he was sitting with a laptop, and he essentially said, "Ask me for an intro, I probably have it on here," and he had damn near everything on that laptop. I mean, he was a cool guy. I didn't get to work with him very often. I mean, I ran into him often at New Era, and I saw him a couple of times at HWA. We weren't friends by any means, but, you know, it still hurts when you lose a brother in this business.
Absolutely. And we want to send our condolences to his family and friends during this very difficult time. Our thoughts and prayers are with them, obviously.
As well to the family of wrestler Rod Steele, who unfortunately I know very little about, short of that he had a short stint in Ohio Valley. Unfortunately, his death was ruled a suicide.
Yeah.
Those, you know, a suicide is probably the hardest death to deal with. When I was in high school, I had a friend of mine. He was a foreign exchange student, and I knew him a little bit, and he committed suicide. And you ask yourself all the time, you know, could I have done something?
Mm-hmm. I had a family member commit suicide back in 2000, so. But I know his was out of pride. He didn't want to be a burden.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Somebody give me some good news to get off of this show, please.
I may have a doctor to do next week.
I'll give you something that Tommy Dreamer said to all the people who worked on the WWE. He said, maybe this helps everyone a little bit. Wrestling is not based upon ability. It is based on people in charge, charge's opinion of you. That's it. So these people, you know, who got released, not all of them are bad people and in terms of quality and stuff. But for those, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you for entertaining us. Seriously.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
You know, the Primal Scream, the
Dancing Pecs.
Yes, the Dancing Pecs. Yes, oh, God.
I'm sorry. I thought that was funny, and I thought it was awesome. I mean, it's silly and it's weird.
You know, if anything in this world of wrestling didn't deserve to get over, and yet it got over, it was the Dancing Pecs.
Well, between if either that or just Vladimir Kozlov in a suit insulting the hell out of Sheamus, come on.
The image of him in a pork pie hat and a tuxedo will always bring a smile to my face.
The fact that he got away with seeing Ginger on the air where overseas are going, oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. It was like you said the N-word, yes.
Although, speaking outside of what's been going on with regular TV, granted, we're an archive, but who cares?
Yes.
So now I can bring out my dirty words. Okay.
No.
I'm joking.
French is very legal on this show. I just haven't had a reason to drop an F-bomb. But the fact that we've got WWE superstars are doing quite a bit of branching out over the next few days, or actually tonight was a prime example. As soon as SmackDown was over, I caught a few minutes of Haven. I had been watching it the last couple of weeks when I heard that Edge was going to be starring on it. They've added him as a character. I don't know a whole lot about his character so far, other than that he apparently is a one-man cleanup crew for all the weird stuff that's happening in that town. So I look forward to seeing where they're going to go with his character there. Jimmy Fallon will be dealing with the evil boss, Dr. Levesque. Hunter's going to be interviewed on Jimmy Fallon probably as we speak.
Well, in about 35 minutes on the East Coast.
Okay.
For when we tape this. But yes, it's also the part of the NBC Universal synergy for the promotion of SummerSlam.
Which will also be topped off by another ginger ninja, I mean Sheamus.
Oh!
Sheamus is going to be on Conan, right?
Yes.
So, I have every right to say ginger ninja. I blame The Miz.
The ginger ninja.
Well, speaking of The Miz, he debuted as the 7-Eleven spokesperson this week.
Yeah, but his... I don't know. Sorry, Miz, your commercial is not as epic as You Forgot Your Straw. Or the fight that broke... Or a little bit of fighting that broke out in... What was it? When the Hardys did one a few years back.
Yeah. If I can give you a television note, off topic, but since we're talking about shows we've started watching, is anybody else watching that show on history, The Ice Road Truckers?
Yes, I've heard of it.
I watched my first episode of it with my mom last night. I'm in the tent. That show is just unbelievable.
There you go.
I've watched a bit of it. That one freaks me out. Now,
there is one show in history that I'm watching religiously now because my sister got me hooked on it, Pawn Stars.
Good show, by the way.
I am a Pawn Stars fan.
They're very, very good show. So.
You probably missed their cameo last week on Top Gear.
I did watch their cameo. It was pretty good. The interview was really lacking. Rutledge has to stop doing the interviews. Let Adam do the interviews. He's the funny guy.
He is. And he's my favorite because he's an Italian doofus.
Oh, is this Adam Ferrara from Top Gear Season 2?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the Guido.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, I'm just asking. So yeah, okay. But so I'm expecting some other promos to happen this week. And the fact, oh, by the way, you also noticed that CM Punk has become the media darling since he quote-unquote re-signed.
Well, popping up and doing the weather in Chicago kind of amused me. I'm sorry, it's a shame that Bozo Show's not still on the air, or he could at least go back and say, I'm back.
Yes, exactly.
And then give Bozo a GTS. I think Chicagoland would appreciate it. Was that not nice?
No, but I think Punk has signed long term. I think he really has gotten I think he got the deal he wanted, contrary to what he's, you know, they've said.
Well, I think what I think has happened is that Punk's point was really driven home, and when they saw the overall public reaction, I think it was pretty much, we don't have a choice. If we don't sign him now, all we're going to do is prove him right.
Well, here's the thing that's been getting me in. No, I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to go ahead and say it real quick because I hate to take up too much of the show, but you'll hit me with a chair later. It's all good. The thing is that what I brought this up on another show, and I'm going to say it now. Spoonie, you know, Noah Andweiler, who does the Wrestle, and all that other stuff, a phrase he likes to use is, the status quo has been fulfilled and all this. CM Punk did a promo Monday. When he mentioned the phrase, the status quo, I have a hunch. Now, I've been wrong before. I thought Titanic was going to bomb, so I've been wrong a lot in my life. Thought it was going to flop terribly, but that's neither here nor there. I have a belief. Right now, the WWE intelligentsia, the guys in charge of the whole deal, Mr. Levesque and all the others, they're really trying to shake up the business. And I think by mentioning the status quo and how this, that, and the other is supposed to happen, I think they're trying to tell people that this isn't your father's WWE. They're trying to maybe address how stagnant the shows have been over the last few years. And I really have a hunch this is the start of a new era for the WWE. And CM Punk will be one of the standard bearers for it. I think they're really trying to win back the fans, because they know that the hardcore wrestling fans are leaving. They want to bring them back. And if it means getting more wrestling on Raw, getting more edgy storytelling, doing other stuff, it can only be good for the company. So I believe that the CM Punk promo, the work shoot, was the catalyst of a change in direction. But that's just my opinion.
You're absolutely 100% right, I believe.
No, you're hitting the nail on the head here. It's something that I know you and I have talked about, Jason.
Yes.
Where essentially it's something that I think Hunter is really big on, and that's that even though this is a whole scripted fantasy show, it works better when you add a couple of tablespoons of reality.
You know, all you have to do
Brian, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Let Nikki finish her point. Thank you.
I thought she was done. I'm sorry.
In a way, I was done. It's really just that little bit of reality. Because reality in itself sometimes is more fun than any story you could ever write. That's why there's a section on TV Tropes called "I'm Not Making This Up."
Exactly. And what happens is that the reason why the CM Punk thing worked so well was he said everything the IWC wanted to say or couldn't say on a WWE programming. And you're saying things like, is this really going out on the air? Are you nuts? Like, the fact that the company would be better off if Vince McMahon was dead.
That one didn't, surprisingly, that one didn't affect me as much as, yeah, I'm a Paul Heyman guy and hi, Colt.
Okay.
No, the only reason I say that is because it's that little line is almost invoking the seven-year rule where Stephanie and Shane had made jokes about dancing on their father's grave. In the many times they had tried to take the company away from him. So that wasn't new, but mentioning names of guys who aren't there, guys who've been there and are gone, regardless of what kind of terms they left on, you know the rules about mentioning other people. Unless they're legends, you don't say their names.
Right.
And you don't mention other leagues. I mean, he said Ring of Honor on TV.
Yeah,
killed
exactly.
That killed half the IWC right there. There was nothing left of the internet when he said that.
Exactly. He was like, yeah, ROH, what?
New Japan, what? I heard, and I went, Uncle Paul! Oh, wait.
Yes. But then, you know, and then John Cena did it in a very subtle and very beautiful way. Remember when he got
That was sweet.
He said, I have no problem going somewhere else doing this again, brother.
Actually, the line was, I have no problem walking down to a different onto a different television show and showing what I could do, brother. And that was just like, oh, really now?
Yes, that raised a few eyebrows.
I'm sorry, Nikki. And the whole thing is that they're also backing it up wrestling-wise too. That's the thing. You could have all these work shoot stuff and have it fall flat as a Kevin Nash promo. you know what I mean?
Well, what it is, the thing is that TNA has been trying to be that, has tried to do that, but they got a little too cute with it. And then Russo gets his hands on it, and never mind. And what happens next is nothing but nonsense. WWE said, oh, is that what you're doing? Ugh. We can do it better. Watch this.
Exactly.
But you're right. They're backing it up in the ring. They're backing it up on the mic. And they're going to keep that. And they're going to keep backing it up as more stuff gets pushed into the mainstream. Plus, as something to win the old fan base back. Something I know you've always you've kind of railed on a bit, Jason, is the fact that now that they're comfortable in PG, now we can start pushing to the borders of it because we've got all this headroom.
Exactly. And you've talked about this for a while because this doesn't feel PG to me.
Right.
But it still is. Yes.
Because they pulled back so far, as I said, with the blood and the weapons, you've been resensitized.
Exactly. 100%. The idea is that, and Brian, you can comment on this. The idea that you can, when CM Punk says the word balls and things like that, and just little touches that push that don't tear the envelope to shreds. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be saying all these, you don't have to be, making vagina jokes and, having gallons of blood all the time. But just having moments that just brush up against the edge of the envelope just enough to where you're like, that's not supposed to happen. That can only benefit it. The best way you can do any of this is all you have to do is plant a tiny kernel of doubt in someone's mind that maybe what you're seeing isn't what was planned. And that's how you tell a good story.
And what I think, going back to actually the topic that we talked about on the live show, the numbers will not belie it this quarter, but next quarter, September 30th, that is, I think, the numbers we have to look out for to see if this experiment works.
And I honestly think that you're right. This is where the proof is going to come in. And I think, to be honest, if they keep going the way they're going right now, Hunter, go ahead and order that champagne.
You really think so?
It's not going to be a huge number, but they're definitely going to beat last year's numbers.
And now, what is the pay-per-view after SummerSlam is Night of Champions, right?
As far as I know, I think it is.
Okay.
I believe so.
And then Night of Champions, I forget what the one after that is.
Well, I know there's been a shakeup in the schedule because Bragging Rights is gone, correct?
Not sure, but...
Actually, I did read that they've changed Bragging Rights back to Vengeance.
Okay. So then you've got SummerSlam, you've got Night of Champions, and you've got Vengeance. Those are going to be the interesting pay-per-views to look at. And then you're going to have Judgment Day. No, not Judgment Day. August, September, October, and then Survivor Series, and then TLC. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
They got five pay-per-views. Let's see what happens. And remember, you got people... I mean, Chris Jericho was enjoying himself touring around.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Do you see him coming back now or waiting till 2012?
I think Jericho, for the proper impact, I think Jericho might wait till the Rumble.
Okay.
Because he doesn't need to do a grand return like he did in 07.
No.
Just put that countdown up. There'll be nothing left of the building.
Exactly.
Well, you know, every Rumble now has been having those surprise entrants that have been there to get a good pop from the audience. I think that'll be how Jericho comes back.
Oh, yeah. But that was a tradition that actually went away for a little bit with the Rumble. Because that was something that was instilled with me. Mind you, the first Rumble I watched live was 03, the year Lesnar won.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody showed me the 02 Rumble. Anyway, and the fun part was the surprise returns, the guys coming back from injury, the legends showing up for a one-shot, you know, those kind of things. That's what makes a Rumble. I was at the 08 Rumble, I was at the 09 Rumble. And, Jason, you were at the 08 Rumble as well.
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
John Cena at 30. You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, that place blew the roof off. Okay?
Exactly.
Because no one expected John Cena to be the freak of nature that he was and is.
It just, you know, just blew everybody's minds. I was in Detroit. There was a rumor about Rob Van Dam. It was just a rumor, but when his music hit, the Joe shook. And, you know, it's a shame that the Fed and Rob cannot meet in the middle on anything. to get him a deal to get to come back, because I'm thinking that he just played on board out of his mind in Orlando. But that's just me. I don't know because I don't watch. Yes, they have a pay-per-view on Sunday. They're still not getting my money.
Yes. Although the Insane Icon is pretty interesting. Anyway, it's just like for me, you know, Jericho might be the final piece of the puzzle, but you know what? Keep bringing these young stars up, you know?
And that might, you know, Jericho's take on it. Why should I come back? I don't want to outshine these guys. These are the guys that are going to push the show over the next 5 years, not me.
I mean, put it to you this way. Jericho does not have to come back.
No.
Okay?
Although,
I mean, he tweeted a picture this week of his kids in their, you know, one of the kids' bedroom and him just, like, rocking out in their little play guitars.
Awesome.
He's having fun being a dad. He's having a fun being with Fozzy. He's, you know, he doesn't have to come back. He's done. He's a first ballot WWE Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 35 years old, I think.
More like 30. He's closer to 40, but the fact that he can still go is just testament to his own conditioning, and just the fact that, you know, the man just does. I still haven't figured out when the man sleeps.
Right. No, because I mean, and the fact that he reinvented himself again with Dancing with the Stars. He was a success.
Mm-hmm.
On Dancing with the Stars.
He genuinely looked like he was having way too much fun. In fact, I was recording Raws and SmackDowns leading up to WrestleMania, so I got to rewatch one of the weeks of Dancing with the Stars when he did the one of the numbers that he did that they went ahead and showed, you know, a pretty good amount of the number and his scoring.
Okay.
And he just looked like he was having way too much fun.
And like I said, he does not, as I said, he does not need to come back. The WWE needs him.
Right, but he's not going to come back unless he actually gets the itch. And, you know, he might be too busy. He's got three kids, first of all. Second of all, he's got a gorgeous wife. Third of all, he's having way too much fun with his band. Fourth, I'm sure his phone rings every other day for something.
Right.
So, you know, he doesn't need the Fed. They might need him, and to be honest, I would pay some pretty good money for Jericho Punk, Jericho Bryan.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to see some Jericho Morrison myself, but then I wouldn't know who to cheer for. I would also pay a lot of money just for Chris Jericho to walk out, cut a promo on Michael Cole, and put him in the walls.
Yeah.
The real walls. As in, I'm going to put my knee on your neck walls.
Yes, and I should have said this. Those five wrestlers got released today, and Michael Cole still has a job. What the fuck?
Thank you. Thank you. I am hoping to God that somebody finally gets the message. I personally would like to see Hunter can't pedigree him. I don't think they're really allowed to put Cole in any kind of moves. A, because he's not trained as a wrestler. And B, he's over 40 himself. But at some point, I want Hunter to come out and say, yes, I've been listening to the commentary. And frankly, I'll even take the pay cut to get your ass off the roster. You're fired.
Uh-huh.
I have a hunch that may happen sooner than later.
It better happen soon, because I watched better than half of tonight's SmackDown on mute. I could not watch and listen during the Daniel Bryan Tyson Kidd match. I wanted to hear what Barrett had to say, but I wasn't going to stick around to listen to Michael Cole. I couldn't, you know, every match, there's 3 to 5 minutes in every match that I have to mute the damn TV because Cole is being an ass.
Right, exactly.
And I'm sorry, any commentator in any other sport acted like that, they'd be fired on the air. Somebody would walk out and fire them on the air.
They'd get their mic cut and they'd be let out by security.
Yes.
And our good friend Jim Williams knows that way too well. He's a sportscaster. It's a load of crap. It's an absolute load of crap, and I still do not understand how the hell this happens.
It just, you know, it just baffles me that they allow him to act like that. And some people say, oh, it's just, it's like Vince, you know, Vince McMahon when he was a commentator in the 90s. No, Vince, no offense, I didn't, what little I've heard of Vince's commentary, Vince was not a very good commentator. Michael Cole was a decent commentator when he was doing straight up play-by-play with Taz as his color in back in 04 and 05.
Yeah, he was very good. He was good. He really was.
He regressed.
He wasn't bad.
He would, you know, he no, he wasn't JR. He's never going to be JR. But what he was doing in 04 and 05 was his job. Now he's acting like he really doesn't give a royal fuck.
No, not at all.
He's out there putting himself over, and it's distracting from the rest of the show. It is the one piece of the puzzle that still needs to be rectified, and it needs to be rectified soon. So, by some miracle, if Hunter's actually listening to this, will you just fire Michael Cole and be done with it?
Pretty much. So, anyway, I am going to take off because it is almost 12:30 on the East Coast.
Oops.
So,
yeah.
So, I probably should.
But remember, next week, SummerSlam pick'ems.
Yes.
For those who are on. And, you know, we might cover any new releases that happen next week.
And I... Ooh, Carl is on. This will not be... hopefully next Sunday there will be a SummerSlam pre-show.
Right.
I need to discuss this with Carl, and I need to figure out who I'm going to have on with me. But
considering how I talked over everyone, you can leave me out next week.
No. I don't. There, it takes a lot more than what you did tonight for me to beat you up. Go listen to. There's a. I think it's in May of 09 somewhere. Go listen to the post draft show, and you'll see what it takes. How much you got to walk on me before I say something.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
You
yeah,
know the
exactly.
You know the promo, Jason.
Oh please!
You left. You didn't want to be anywhere near Ground Zero when this went off.
No, because a certain someone who has gotten better wasn't.
Exactly, and is primarily the reason why so many changes have happened here at the NAWC.
There you
hopefully,
go,
and hopefully for the better.
We hope so, too. So, anyway, so on that note, we will talk next week. And, Brian, as always, a pleasure to talk and listen to you.
Well, Jason, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I want to say, and I haven't said this before, you were one of my favorite millionaire contestants, and you've gotten to do something that I dream of doing every night. You've been on Jeopardy. And
hey,
one
well,
day
I,
it will...
Well, I was one of the first people actually to go from Millionaire to Jeopardy and actually succeed in both. So I'm really, really happy to say that 10 years on. So thank you very much. Really appreciate that.
Anytime. And Nikki, I want to ask you, are you on Skype? Because you sound a lot better this week than you have.
I finally converted. The Skype system is much better, mainly because the reception in my new apartment is horrible. I have to actually place my phone in a specific spot to get decent reception in my apartment because the apartment's practically a basement.
You know, I have a friend of mine who has an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
who lives right next to a transmit tower, one of those cell towers.
Right.
She is convinced her apartment is a Faraday cage. Because she has to go onto the balcony of her apartment just to take a phone call.
That's insane. That's just nuts. All right, I'm done, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, night, Jason. But yeah, Brian, I'm using Skype pretty much at the insistence of a couple people, plus the reception issue. My first couple of weeks in the new apartment, I was dropping calls left and right. I have Verizon, and I've never had the problem before. But to give you some perspective, if you look out either of my windows, you see the sidewalk. My windows are ground level to that side of the building.
Wow.
So I'm technically in a basement, which actually I don't mind. It just, that makes the apartment cooler in the summer and probably warmer in the winter.
All right, then. Okay.
The only thing that I've had a problem with is bugs and water seepage.
Well, that'll happen. I got a funny story that I think I'm going to get off to in a moment, but I got to tell you a story real quick.
Sure.
My sister and my husband and my brother-in-law, they now live in a very nice house in Knoxville, but they lived in a two-room apartment before they had their first child and before everything else happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they, for whatever reason, they had an electric stove, and in the kitchen, not 10 feet away from their stove, they had the smoke detector.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those apartments where they were bolted directly into the wall. You could not remove the smoke detector. And so Katie always said, so my sister and my brother-in-law sort of started this little tradition where when they heard the smoke alarm go off, they knew dinner was ready.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Oh, if I could ask you for a little NAWC karma, I got a phone call yesterday from a headhunting or agency. I may finally be having me a new job by next week.
Well, I do wish you the best of luck, because I already know too many people who do not have jobs right now.
Yeah, and I've been looking.
How long have you been looking?
Since January, so it's been about 7 months.
So between you, Jason, Jim, my outside stat boy Mikey, a good friend of mine back in Ohio, Victor, who lost his job just as I got my new job. Hmm. I would rather that everybody have my old job than no job at all.
Exactly. But
so,
I can't say really who it's with. It is a customer service position.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady on the phone talked to me and said I was an excellent candidate. So you never know.
You've got a very good phone voice, and I think you'll do well. You've got good empathy. You do listen, and as long as you know what you're talking about, I think you'll be fine.
Appreciate that, Nikki.
So,
well, I think I'll scurry off here too, and just let me know when you want me back on, hon.
Absolutely. And like I said, best of luck. I probably shouldn't have stayed on this late myself because I've got to be somewhere 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, be careful on the road if you have to travel.
Thank you.
And for all you folks still listening, thank you all for listening and suffering through it with me. I'm going to get off, and God bless.
And so, good night, everybody.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.